Real Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Susie, Claire Schwab, and Evan Pearson. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
Hello and welcome back to the Remember Who You Are show. I'm Beachy and it's Wednesday, November 26th, 2025. And I'm waiting for Serena to come on in. I'm joined today by Serena.
Hi, I've just gone in, Beachy. Sorry, I didn't hear what you were saying. Sorry.
We are live. We're up. So say hello and we can start anytime you're ready.
Oh, okay. Hello. And yes, a Thursday afternoon. It's a really hot November day and very windy as well here in Queensland. But Beachy, I really wanted the opportunity to, you know, have a bit of an exchange with you about a situation that we all find ourselves in, which is that we are living here in this, whatever this realm, this place, don't really know what it is, don't know why we're here, and we also are living with the knowledge that the ones who control this place or who have power over us hate us. So they don't care about us. They're not trying to help us. They're trying to kill us all the time. So how do we live with that and still have a happy life?
Right. I think we never really address the huge elephant in the room, which is who are we here on this planet, and what is our purpose, and are we, you know, that we've been told that we are like a parasite on the earth. We're told we're insignificant. We are just, you know, temporary visitors because we have such short lives. And the planet is well, lately we've been told that we're destroying the planet by being here. And so we have all these negatives against us from the get-go. And we are not, but yet I like to, what I'm trying to address in my Remember Who You Are theme of this show is that I believe we just have forgotten who we are, what we're capable of, what our God-given powers are, or you know, what we're born with, and everything and that we're presented with is designed to keep us from that. So I think our first mission should be to figure out, you know, who we are and what we're capable of and what our direction should be, rather than just succumbing to all of the programming and direction that we're being given, so to speak.
Well, I don't expect an answer to the question, who are we and why are we here? I really don't expect the questions answered between now and when I stop living in this body. Hopefully once I'm out of this body, I'll get answers to those questions. But for now, I don't believe anyone who claims to know, because how can they know? I do know that more than just, it's a hideous term that people use, but it is pretty accurate. Meat, you know, that meat suit.
Well, yes, again, like I said, that's what we've been told. But if you consider, like, for example, you know, people are always telling you to, you know, slow down, meditate, breathe, go inside. And I am a firm believer that if we go inside, we can get some answers. Now, granted, like you said, we probably won't have all the answers, but I think the more we focus on it and look at it in an objective way, we can get some answers that might be able to give us a little bit more wiggle room in terms of not feeling so powerless and not falling into the trap of thinking we are less than. And we can, you know, start to enjoy our lives a little more and not focus on, you know, whoever is trying to chase us. I mean, if you think about it.
I don't want to be focused on them because they're going to continue doing what they're doing. No, they're not going to stop. They're continuously coming up with new and more horrible ways to chase us. So I don't, none of it is really interesting to me. I don't want to analyze it. It's like, I get it. Okay. Yeah. They're out to get us. That's really all I need to know. I don't really want to examine all the different ways they're poisoning us but I'm all about wanting to enjoy myself and that act of rebellion, that is really a very powerful act, Beachy. From where we are now to just choose to have fun and enjoy life, that is, you know, a bold choice because everything is set up for that not to happen. And the fear is being constantly pumped at us all the time. The fear and the intention is to make sure that we never feel safe. And I really believe, and it was, I think, put up a post the other day about defibrillators in Australia. They're in supermarkets and libraries and random places where you wouldn't expect to see, you know, medical equipment. And I'm sure, I mean, it may be to deal with people having heart attacks as a result of the vaccines, but it was a fake, you know, defibrillator that doesn't even work. Its presence is going to make you think about people dropping dead, people having heart attacks and just, you know, walking around the supermarket, getting your groceries. Then you look up, there's, you know, piece of equipment that is meant to get people's heart pumping again. And the message is, oh, I'm in a place where at any moment could just fall to the floor and just be dying in front of me. You got to be some of the message that it to put out there for sure.
Well, and I do remember even prior to 2020 that there was a rollout, so to speak, of, I remember there, you know, news reports saying that, oh, we need to put these defibrillators all over. We have to, you know, people are going to be needing these. Not that they were saying this is something that's necessary because, you know, for, it's like your first aid kit, you know, or you're like your EpiPen, you got to have these, you know, in, you know, public places for, you know, because when these things happen, it'll, you know, save lives, whatever. And just like, I also recall, pre 2020 that, I remember lots of pharmaceutical commercials about blood clots and, you know, how it could be just around the corner. Like they had this, you know, like it was a fear put into you. But yet at that point, like you said, it was pre 2020. Well, now that there's all this, you know, seeming like died suddenly, and, you know, lots of propaganda put out again by the media of, you know, people dying, people falling on the field, people falling, you know, in the grocery store, whatever, on television. So it's out there. It's like a thing, you know. They want, like you said, they want you to look at these things and just it puts fear in you. But I have to say, like we were talking about, I think I was with another chat, just the masks, the whole masks thing. I feel a bit triggered, and I, to this day, our mail lady walks around here with her mask on.
Oh my She's God.
Delivering mail. She's in her car. She's outside. Yet, you know, she's walking around with her mask on still. And that just tweaks me. I don't know. I mean, and they do rotate. So, you know, sometimes they have different people. And she's the only one that does that. But there are others. So I know it's not that the, you know, they're not telling them and they have to wear them. So, you know, this is just this one individual who, you know, is.
It triggers you, Richie, because you recognize that you're in the presence of insanity. And being in the presence of insane people makes us feel unsafe, because you recognize this person is out of her mind, not sane. She's mentally ill. I know. I know, because she's driving around in her car with a mask on. Tell me all I need to know. And when we see you're a mentally healthy person, don't react well to, you know, being in close proximity to insane people. Same as if you're physically healthy, you don't want to be around people who are ill, coughing and spreading germ. You know, it's just an ugly thing to see, because there's so much mental illness out in the world. So many people pass for normal. They have a normal job. They live in an average house. And they appear just, you know, very ordinary. They are really insane, really out of their minds. I see examples of this all the time. It's very mentally ill society. And if you can preserve your mental and physical health from 2025 onwards, a huge achievement, I think. And that is going to be one of the best you can do for yourself, because then you feel safe yourself and you're so vulnerable to all the fear porn, fear propaganda.
Well, yes. And of course, like I said, even myself, who I consider, you know, to be quote unquote awake, I feel like I have been a victim of, you know, trauma-based mind control, which is, is basically an operation. It's like a psyop, you know. If you've ever heard of MKUltra, which is trauma-based mind control, of course, when we've been told about it, it's described as, you know, really horrific. Like the victims are either physically abused or, sexually abused, or even, you know, gaslit, you know, psychologically abused, whatever. All of these things are done repeatedly until the person's mind just breaks. And so they get split into, you know, multiple personalities, so they can program the person to do things in one mind, and then when they put them into the other mind, they don't remember those things. It's like they can be two different people, right? So
go on.
Yeah, and to me, that is what they do to us in in the media, because when you're watching something, even though it's not physically happening to you, if you're watching it on the screen, your mind doesn't know the difference between whether you're just viewing it or whether it's actually happening to you. So you do get a degree of that trauma. And so, again, I think, you know, if we're aware of it, it's probably, you know, we can address it and, you know, get it out, you know, work it out to keep us sane. Whereas other people, like you were saying, yeah, they are, I believe, because they've been subjected and they have not addressed it, they are mentally ill. So,
well, they're certainly mentally compromised. They are, you know, the level of mental illness and addictions just in general is higher than it's ever been. I'm sure of that. And, you know, what you were saying about you're watching something and you feel like you're there, like people watch footage of war and shit. And definitely don't watch horror movies. You know, and that's a very addictive thing where some people actually love watching horror movies. Yes. And they get it. But I can't believe that that is doing any good for you mentally or spiritually, because they're getting more and more grotesque and gruesome and evil and dark, and so much darkness pumped out all the time. But the mind control thing, I mean, all of us are fragmented to some degree. Until we heal, once we heal, that is what I would call what is, that you're no longer fragmented. I smoked cigarettes many, many years. For decades, I was a cigarette smoker. And when I was trying to give up, and I haven't smoked for many years now, you could pay me to have a cigarette now. Like, I physically couldn't do it. I would vomit if I tried to smoke now. Would really. It's so disgusting. But when I was trying to give up smoking, there was that part of me that knew that it's disgusting, it's killing me, it's polluting my lungs, it's giving me cancer, it's dirty and gross, and it's not who I want to be. And then there was that other part of me that was like, but I just really want to smoke because, you know, because I like it or whatever it was, you know, and who cares, you know, if I'm healthy or not, because we'll probably all be dead tomorrow. Like, that was kind of logic that
that is the cognitive dissonance of,
yes,
this you call it fragmentation. That's an excellent word, because again, like I said, you have one part of you saying it's dirty, disgusting, it's hurting me, and then you have the other part saying, oh, you know, what the heck, you know, we're gonna die anyway, it's devil may care. Ooh. And so, yeah, you have to, after the break.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us by going to truthmeets.com and clicking on the donate link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
And we're back. Now I can't remember what I was talking about because I was enjoying that little tune. Such a catchy little tune.
It is great, great voice too. How our psyche is fragmented, Beachy.
Yes, yes. Exactly. And so, but like I said, so you here they call that cognitive dissonance, where you have two separate ideas in your head at the same time, which are contradicting. And like you said, though, you have to get a hold of it. First, you have to be aware of it, of course. And yes, reconcile that so that you can figure out, okay, so, you know, what is it that's, you know, I mean, because you can have a cigarette, you can have a drink, but I think, again, you know, people are like for say Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, it's like they cling to that group, you know, because it's like they're on the edge, like any moment they're going to, you know, go back. And I think you've already figured out, okay, I really don't want it, and it's not something, you're not afraid you're going to slip back into it, where these people are like on the, you know, they're still on the fence, you know, they're still like white knuckling through it. So that means they're not really, you know, addressing the issue. They're just, yeah.
I hate Anonymous. I've got two friends who are in Narcotics Anonymous. And one of them, it's been at least 20 years since she touched anything. Like now she's so pure. No, I don't think she even drinks coffee now, but she was at one time basically a drug addict. But, and I also know someone else who's in Narcotics Anonymous, so I know a lot about it. And as far as I'm concerned, it's a cult, and it doesn't empower them. It gets them off the substance, which is great, but it talk about trauma-based mind control. They're constantly being told that even if you had one drink now, the next day you'd be in the gutter. Literally, it goes, you know, you're at a friend's birthday party and they offer, you know, a glass of champagne to drink a toast, or a toast for the, like, at a wedding or something, you know, half a glass of champagne. Glass of champagne to drink a toast to the bride and groom. The next day you'll wake up homeless in the gutter, with a needle hanging out of your arm. Tell them this. And they go, they encourage them to go to so many meetings. And instead, like, for example, I used to smoke, so I'm not a smoker now. I used to be a smoker, but obviously I'm not a smoker now because I haven't smoked for years. If I was going to Smokers Anonymous, which I don't think is a thing, but they would make me stand up and say, "Hi, my name's Serena and I'm a smokeaholic." Even though I haven't smoked for so long, they make them identify. They create a whole identity. They'll say, you know, "Oh, my name's John and I'm an alcoholic." John hasn't had a drink for 40 years, but my identity now is going to AA meetings. I hate it. I really think it's on people.
Yeah. Well, and again, like you said, I think it makes you feel like there's, well, I think it's, what is it? It's like a religious thing, as far as, you know, you're only there by the grace of God, you know, and which is, you know, not a bad thing, but if it's more like a crutch, in my opinion, because if you learn how to control yourself or to use your own brain to reprogram yourself, and you know, you, that alone would, you know, help you to recognize what your power is and how you do have control over yourself. And I think sometimes in those groups that they reinforce that you're like you said, they have to get up and say every day, I'm identifying as an alcoholic. So it's just, to me, it's a little programming on the other side, right? But there's something, and I've spoken about this before, called brain retraining. And it is a type of self-hypnosis, if you will. You know, not in the traditional hypnosis, but if you focus on, like, say you were going to tell yourself, "I'm going to stop smoking or drinking or whatever," you would definitely, like I said, you have to first acknowledge it. You have to figure out why it is that you were, like, say, for example, a substance that you wanted to escape with, for drinking or, you know, possibly drugs. But, you know, you're mostly, it's about chronic disease, where, because you keep telling yourself, you know, something eventually, and it's usually like self-deprecating, it eventually turns into a chronic illness or a you know, something that doesn't go away, like a pain in your knee or your shoulder or a headache, a migraine headache, for example. And, you know, people are debilitated by these things because it just goes on and on and on, and the doctors can't figure out what it is when it's actually something emotional and you can totally take care of it yourself just by acknowledging. Yeah.
It's easier said than done, you know.
It is, but it's very disciplined, and you have, like you said, the first thing is to recognize that you actually have the power to do that. If you don't believe that, well, then, you know, of course, it's going to be a tough road, because you do have to direct yourself. For example, again, that's like the foundation of, you know, remembering who you are. You have to like believe in that sort of thing, and then you can direct yourself. I mean, it can go to convince people, or what I use to tell people, it's like, if you think about all the times in your life that if something very simple, like, okay, I'm going to go to the store, I'm going to buy some food, I'm going to make a meal, right? Just create a meal, simple. Everybody does it, but you think it in your mind. You think, okay, I need this, I need that, you know, for the ingredients. And then you get in your car and you go to the store, you do it, and you execute it. Okay, well, you just created right there. That is manifesting. That is, you started with an idea and you went ahead and you accomplished it, right? So,
yeah, sure. But some people are so crippled by past that they can't manifest their way out of a paper bag, really. You know, there's and earlier that conversation that we didn't end up recording, but the terminology is it's another way that they're trying to disempower us. I mean, yeah, those AA and NA cults, their step one is we admitted we were powerless. They literally tell you you're powerless. Oh, I hate it so much. But
you mentioned before about the women who are telling themselves that they're broken. You know, the word broke.
That beachy. They've been trained into it, because years ago, would say, I've got a broken heart. I've got a broken heart. And everybody knows what that means. Everybody knows what a broken heart is. Everybody has had that experience of having a broken heart. These days, they don't say broken heart. They just say, I'm broken. I am broken. This is what they say. They say it all the time. These talk videos, these young women are just, you know, the slightest little thing goes wrong in their life, like they didn't get a promotion at work, and they say, oh, it's like that mean. If you can be trained into saying that I am broken, then you can be trained into saying anything. And I use ChatGPT a lot, and I find ChatGPT actually really helpful for a lot of things, a lot of practical things that it saves time and a lot of practical uses. Have spoken to ChatGPT about personal issues and sort of like using it like a therapist. And the thing that it says over and over again is, you're not broken, you're not broken. I'm like, broken. I never said I was broken. A phrase that I would even use, something I would even think. I haven't suggested I was broken. I haven't stated that I was broken. I haven't stated. So why, ChatGPT, do you feel the need to keep telling me I'm not broken? I'm telling you 20 times a day that you're not broken.
Yes.
Well, yeah, I
That's
am.
That's the word. Yeah, it's like a, that is programming you, because you're not hearing, you know, I'm not broken. All you're hearing is I am broken. So that's what they say. and you know, the negative, self-negative talk, like instead of saying, I can't do that, you say, I haven't figured out a way to accomplish that just yet. You know, because that leaves the door open rather than just giving up and saying, I can't. Or, you know.
It's very negative program. Anyway, I have trained it. It doesn't say it to me anymore, but it's quite a bit of repetition on my part over a period of a few months. Finally, get to a point where ChatGPT never says now that you're not broken, you're just whatever that there's, you know. train it. I had to train it again and again and again and again and again. No, I didn't say I was broken. Stop telling me I'm not broken. I never said I was broken. And now it never does it. So that training goes both ways. As much as it's out there trying to program us, we can program it. But overall, I would say that they've been very successful in training young women. I don't know about young guys, probably young guys as well, I don't know. But young women definitely have been successfully trained into saying, I'm broken, I feel broken, I've always been broken. It's just standard sort of terminology now. No one ever says I've got a broken heart. They just say I'm broken, which is fine, really. But the insidiousness of the language creep and how effective they are at getting it out there into the population and making it mainstream.
Well, yeah. You remember all the words, all the new words that came out with the 2020 PSYOP, I'll say. we hear safe and effective, which, you know, we talked about that already. There was asymptomatic spread, which, you know, to me was like, I could not fathom that, how they managed to push that where you are sick, but you don't know that you're sick. So, you're a super spreader. You're, you're unknowingly, you know, damaging people by breathing, just from breathing, which is something that we all need to do, right? It's our life, our lifeline.
What freaked me out was that there were people that absolutely swallowed that, you know, wholly, that you could be sick but not sick. It even makes sense.
Right, exactly. That's the thing. I remember I was very early on in the COVID thing, and when they started coming out with the asymptomatic spread, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine, you know, and of course she was believing all the stuff they were telling her on TV. And I said, well, how's this? So you shouldn't be afraid, because if I'm asymptomatic and I spread it to you, then and I don't know that I'm sick, what I'm spreading to you, you won't know that you're sick either. You will have asymptomatics. I mean, who said that you will have symptoms if what I have is asymptomatic? So I give it to you, you know, it'll be the same, right? I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but it's like I was trying to say to her that, you know, to see how ridiculous the whole thing is. Like, okay, if I'm not having any symptoms, you won't have any symptoms either. So you won't even know that you're sick. But yet the fear was off the charts on that whole thing. I mean, even the, I don't know if you remember how they also want, you know, all the standing 6 feet apart. And yet when you went into a restaurant, if you, you know, you had to wear your masks as you were walking in, and then when you sat down, you could take your mask off. But if you got up to go to the restroom, you had to put your mask on, right?
Like, just thinking it is actually physically making me feel sick. I'd forgotten about all that stuff.
Yes. I'm bringing it back. I'm sorry. See, we're traumatized. We are. I fully acknowledge that. I was traumatized by that whole, all of it.
I was angry. I was like, why do I have to live amongst these retarded people? Why am I having to taking part in this bizarre performance, whatever this is? It was really just a hideous, hideous time, and I'll never forgive them for it. And I tell you what, they better not try it again. I don't think they'll need to, because I think it was effective in a lot of ways. But, you know, that shit, the acid. Sitting here now, Beachy, and I feel fine, but how do I know that I don't have malaria? You know, have symptomless malaria. I could have anything. I could have, you know, I don't know, diphtheria.
Well, they do that, but think about it. We have our whole medical system tells you got to come in for screenings, right? Because you don't know until we test you and tell you you have something.
No. Mammograms, I have never, ever a mammogram, ever. I remember the first time, and believe me, they've tried to bully me into it. The first time I ever saw those machines, and once I realized what they actually, you know, were intending to do with them, there and put your teeth in between two metal plates while they.
Yes.
No, not going to happen. That's never going to happen. Same doing that. It's amazing. Seem to me what they can get people to agree to.
Well,
once a year. And at my age, I'm going, I think, once a year or something. Just sit there and lie to a GP, a doctor, like look her in the face and lie and say, Graham, in, you know, another city where I was. And, it all came out. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I'll lie if I have to. I don't do any of that stuff. One where they send you an envelope in the mail and you're supposed to put it in it and send it off, you know, and they're going to analyze it for, I don't know, bowel cancer or something. Perverted, sick ritual that is. Oh, I won't be participating in that.
Not. Yes. Well, I have to say, I too agree 100%, the whole medical exam, male and female, I mean, they're all over you, touching your parts and sticking their fingers where they shouldn't belong. All of that, how did they get us to agree to that is, you know, that is some serious mind control right there.
Years ago, I hardly go to doctors now. I really try to avoid them, but I always knew that vaccines, I'm going back, you know, 30 years ago, I knew that.
No matter what you say.
You're listening to Conversation.
Or your preoccupation.
On truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Yeah, about 20 years ago, I was having this sort of dizziness. Unexplained dizziness, you know, for no reason. It turned out very common thing where you've got sort of crystals in your inner ear. It's an ear thing. Your inner ear canal has got debris or crystals or something, and it makes you feel really dizzy. And that's a common thing, but I haven't had it for a long time. But I didn't know at the time that's what it was. And because it was dizziness, they wanted to get me checked out and give me an MRI in case it was a brain tumor or something like that. But that's where you lie. Yeah, that's where you lie down and go through a sort of. Anyway, waiting to have it done, they came out and this person comes towards me with a syringe, and I said, oh, what's this? She said, oh, well, before we go into the MRI, All right. Yeah. I think that's one. She said, we're going to inject you with this dye, the colored dye, and we inject you with it and it goes into your vein and then your veins show up more clearly on the screen. I said, no, I won't be having that. Colored dye. What? That? She goes, oh, well, I don't think we'll be able to do it without it. I said, oh, well, then I guess we're not doing it because I'm not being injected with whatever that is, paint or something. So then she had to go away and speak. They came back and there was them. I'm not even kidding. This was at a medical center in a suburb in Sydney. There was standing there and they said, oh, Serena, can you tell us what problem? Like, don't you want to have this dye injected into your veins so that it'll glow in a fluorescent way and we can, like, I just don't, but I just don't want to do it. I couldn't even be bothered making up some, I just don't want to do it. That's a good enough excuse. I don't feel the need to elaborate any further. So, you know, they hummed and hawed and sort of, well, you know, like, oh, you know, like I was this inconvenience to them and I was causing all kinds of problems. I don't care about stuff like that. So eventually they did the MRMI. I'm saying MRMI, but I think it's MRI. And when I came out, the woman came up, the first one with the syringe came up to me and said, oh, do you know what? Got a really good image and like you see it really clearly even without the whatever the stuff was. So she was basically telling me that they didn't need it.
That's interesting.
And she was all surprised, like, oh, like we actually can see everything we needed to see without that. So that just told me straight away that that was bullshit. First place, and I've never had an MRI since.
Well, that's good because they're friggin' expensive. Let me tell you, we had an experience, but I've talked to other people about it as well. But basically, if you have insurance, it costs more than if you didn't have insurance they would normally charge, you know, say $1,600 like $700 for the procedure. But if you have insurance, they charge twice as much. And then you have this rather large copay, you know, that the insurance doesn't cover because, you know, they've already gotten their payment. So you know, they somehow try to rope you into like another $700 for this thing, which anyway, we had a big row about that with the insurance company and, you know, it was interesting, but, and I talked to other people who kind of figured out the same thing and they just said, they just decided they'd just go in and just say they didn't have insurance and they just, you know, somehow it worked out less. But anyway.
I'm sure that's how insurance companies operate. You know, I didn't pay for that thing. I'm in Australia, so, you know, we often don't have to pay for things like that, which, you know, I'm grateful for. But I there's not a lot of stuff that I need from doctors anyway. But, just normally would just not. They wouldn't question that. They would be like, well, this is obviously the normal thing that everyone does. And she went away and came back with backup, you know, reinforcements, three women. You know what doctors' receptions are like. They're very aggressive.
Yes, they are.
People, it wouldn't even occur to them they could say no. They wouldn't even think of saying no. I mean, my parents have both passed away now, but I know when they were alive, they loved doctors and they wouldn't have dreamed of saying no to something that a doctor was telling them to do. That was partly a generational thing, though.
Well, yeah, like you said, we've basically, you know, been indoctrinated for, you know, what is it? Like probably, when did the AMA come about? In probably the mid-1900s. So, you know, it's been, even though it hasn't been that long, it's only been, you know, less than 100 years. But, you know, all the... that the marketing has been successful, obviously. I mean, yeah, people do not question their doctors. It's crazy. I, like I said, you know, I, you know, when even going to the hospital for, to have a baby, I mean, that's a huge, huge, intrusion. And, you know, when I went through it, I was not of this mindset. And even then I was kind of already starting, and I, you know, refused a lot of things. And of course they are, like you said, they're extremely annoyed when you tell them that you don't want certain things. And, yep. They just push, they push, and, you know, the vaccinations on the child and all that stuff. I mean, I didn't refuse all of them. I refused some of them, but that again was also a fight. You know, they they give you a lot of shit for that. But but anyway, yeah. So just it takes a while because you've been so yeah. You know, it's not been questioned. It's been just it's a given.
So, well, it is, again, for a lot of people, but none of it has been a given for me, or not for many has it been a given. So I feel like I had a head start already before the COVID stuff. I already knew that vaccines weren't something that appealed to me. My ex-husband would always have a flu shot every winter, and it just, I'm like, are you doing? Why are you doing this? Letting them inject you with, and of course, you get flu every winter. You know, and I already knew then that I wasn't going to be into just vaccines in general. But when COVID came around, I didn't even think twice. I knew that that wasn't going to be something I was going to participate in. They really made it as difficult as possible, but we survived, and here we are. And we didn't succumb, and I'd do it all again, even though I couldn't get my hair cut for 6 months, and I didn't like that.
I know, right? I mean, it, like I said, if you sit down and think about all the little shit you had to go through, I mean, I had a particular incident where I just was going to the local eatery. You know, it was just like a little Mexican restaurant, you know, takeout kind of a place. But they did have like an indoor seating area, which of course they were not allowing you to utilize. So you just had to walk in and order your stuff and, you know, take it with you, which, you know, that was fine, you know. So I went there one night, and it was kind of a rainy night, and I walked up to the door, and there was like a woman standing in front of the door, and she had her mask on, and she told me I couldn't go in there. And I was like, well, why not? Are they closed, you know? And she's like, no, there's somebody in there right now, and I'm next, and I don't want anyone in there except for me because I have cancer. And you just have to wait until I'm done, until I come out, and then you can go inside. And yep. I'm like, you know, like we were talking about, talk about crazy, right? Okay, woman, you are insane. You're standing here talking to me. And mind you, we were not 6 feet apart. I was probably about, I don't know, maybe 2 feet from her. I mean, I, like I said, I was going to walk in the door, and she was standing right there because, you know, they were like two doors, and she was standing in front of it, like, and she immediately addressed, because I was reaching for the, you know, the handle to open the door, and she stopped me right there. And then in the meantime, there was another guy that came up behind us, and I looked at him like, like, are we going to let this woman, you know, tell us what to do? And he just kind of looked down at his phone, like he didn't, you know, it didn't bother him at all. And so, and I just stopped for a moment. I thought, okay, this woman's fucking that crazy. I'm just going to let her do her thing. Cause you know, I don't want to have some altercation here while I'm trying to get some food.
And COVID gave permission to just be out and proud. So she was already like that. She didn't change. She had always been like that. But the circumstances and the whole COVID thing gave people like her free rein to just come out of the closet and let their, you know, mental illness be out there, be out and proud, you know, like be really, you know, fly that freak flag, as certain community says. But no, she would have always been like that. Change. It's just now she's been emboldened and given permission. She's been given permission and free rein to just let the crazy out, along with, you know, plenty of aggression and, you know, trying to dominate you and dominate others and dominate her environment. And there've always been people like that, but they could mainly only act it out behind closed doors. And that whole COVID bullshit gave them permission and free rein to bring it out into public and act it out on the street. And that little incident that you just described, Beachy, was a perfect example of it, because
yes,
knowing and who she has always been, who she, if you speak to any of her family members that had to live under the same roof with her, they could give you a million examples of that she was always like that. But now she had, you know, that feeling.
Well, obviously, if she had anyone who cared about her, they would have gone out and got the food for her. I mean, granted, if you have cancer, what are you doing eating crappy fast food, first of all? But she had no one to help her to go get it, so she wouldn't have to leave her, you know, sanctuary and be exposed to all us, you know, all the filthy germs out there.
She didn't have cancer. God, these people. Cancer, come on. Anything, BG, anything to, you know, justify why she can act like a real see you next day.
You're probably right. I just, like I said, I took her word for it, but I just thought, you know, if she's that freaking crazy to do all that, then I'm just going to let her be, because I don't need that, that extra headache. I just let her go.
I think it can escalate really quickly and you don't need the drama. So I don't confront those crazies, because they can escalate really fast and get really loud and, you know, start screaming, you know. You know.
That, yeah, I mean, during the height when everybody was walking around outside with their masks on, like we were, you know, I was walking in town. I mean, granted, it's a very small town. It's not like there's, you know, we're in a big city or anything, and all the people were walking on the main street and they all had their little masks on, and I refused to wear them outside. It was bad enough you couldn't, you know, go into the stores, but I was like, okay, we're outside. I am not, you know, I'm not doing that. But everybody was being very good little compliant, you know, subjects. And there were people who, you know, my friend and I, we'd walk down the street and she didn't wear her mask either. And they would always, where's your mask? Why don't you have a mask on? And it's just like, I would just ignore them. I mean, it's like you said, you know, I'm not going to confront anybody. I'm not going to start a fight in the street, but, you know, I'm certainly not going to, you know, justify my wanting to breathe.
One thing I never, ever said, and I just noticed, Speechy, that you said my friend didn't wear her mask either. Mask. One thing that I never, ever, ever said was I mask. I would say, oh, have a mask. Bag, or I have a mask in my pocket. I've got a mask. I'll wear a mask, but I would never say my mask. People are talking about my mask. Friends ordered some fancy embroidered ones from Etsy. You know, they had a glitter ones and
yes,
wardrobe of different designs and patterns of masks. Oh God, it was the sickest thing. I never spent money. I never spent a dollar on buying masks. I only ever used ones that were given to me by, sometimes they would hand them out, you know, supermarkets or at a pharmacy or whatever. But I certainly never paid for one, and I never referred to my mask. It was just a mask. It wasn't my mask. Just a dirty piece of, you know, paper that I would put in the garbage. And boy, am I glad that's over. But yeah, really sort of really pulled the curtain back on what people in general are like, and it was pretty damn disappointing, I have to say. It was. It was way worse than I thought. I knew people weren't very smart, but I genuinely didn't think they were that fucking stupid.
Well, I did my best. I tried to walk into the Costco without my mask, and I did. And I, you know, everybody was horrified, and all the salespeople were on the floor following me, telling me to put on a mask, or where's your mask? And, you know, I would just ignore them basically. And there was a woman out here in California who was trying to tell everybody, you don't have to comply with this stuff. Mandates are not laws, you know, all that stuff. And she had called a lot of the stores and demanded to know, you know, like, do you have a law, or, you know, what is your authority for, you know, forcing people to wear these things in your store, you know? And so Costco had issued a written document that said, you know, if you have, because, you know, some people were claiming they had health reasons for not, you know, because if you're asthmatic or you have some kind of difficulty breathing, the mask, you know, could impair your breathing and therefore make you pass out or whatever. After the break.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
And we're back. And I was telling my story about this because, ironically, so yeah, if you had a medical reason for not wearing the mask, you could be exempt. So, so I printed out this piece of paper that she said you just had to show this to the people and say, you know, I have a medical, whatever reason for not complying, and you didn't have to. So I used that paper and they were fine. So, you know, at that point, I was golden for a while. And then, and wouldn't you know it, like about a month later, they said, oh, we're not going to accept those things anymore. You know, if you don't want to wear the mask, we're not letting you in the store. So that was very short lived. And, but these are the funny things that happened. But anyway, back to the
funny. They weren't funny. They, at the time, it was just, this is bringing it back. I really hate thinking about that time. It was living in hell. It was like waking up in just Zorro land and thinking, why do I have to, like, would have given anything for some kind of escape. There was no way out, you know. It was, we were in it. And I guess that comes back to our question about what is place. And, you know, with, again, I don't believe anyone can answer that. But there are people who say that this hell where we are, that it's hell. And, but I don't agree with that. I don't think it's hell because there is so much beauty in the world and there's so much natural beauty. The flowers, the, just the sunset, you know, he does all those beautiful photos of the sunrises and just those alone show you that there's so much beauty. And I don't believe that hell contain that much beauty. Plus there's a lot of, you know, there's dogs, beautiful doggies. How could it be hell if we have dogs? I don't believe that. So, and there's a lot of love in the world and, you know, there's, and I know that, you know, there's plenty of people out there not capable of love and have no interest in it. There are plenty of people still who have a functioning heart and can love. So I don't believe this is hell, but maybe some kind of prison planet. I mean, I'm willing to believe that that could be the case.
Well, again, like you, I was saying, the hell is created in your personal mindset there. So we are not in the prison. We are, you know, the prison has been put into our heads, and if we focus on what's in our heads, yeah, but like you said, the beauty is all around us. And I showed you the beautiful day we had today. I posted a picture in the show chat so you can see my beach. I was out there, even though it was a bit windy, like you were saying, it was windy at your place too. We had some pretty good wind going, but it was still gorgeous and it was warm. And yeah, I totally agree. Dogs are probably the best thing on this earth to me. I've always loved them. So it's, yeah, if we focus on these things, so I think we get more of those things.
Dogs are so joyful and they bring so much joy and they have so much joy from the smallest things, you know, like you throw a ball, dogs in heaven, you know, is so happy and joyful and loving and affectionate and playful. And that's why I don't believe this hell, because that kind of joy that dogs bring and that, and they sort of activate that joy in us as well, be possible if this was really hell. So yeah, I agree. We have a lot of influence over how we experience the world. We can't control what the powers that be are doing. We can't stop them. They're going to go on doing what they do, but we can choose to make it a good experience for ourselves and just find happiness in the little things, you know, a nice coffee, a nice chat with a friend, just taking it day by day. I'm not trying to predict how it's all going to pan out.
Well, I think if we all, like you said, focus on this, what we want rather than what we don't want, then I think we will get what we want, because if we're all focused on it, or at least most of us, you know, it will somehow work out. That's my Pollyanna view.
I love Pollyanna. Let's all be Pollyannas.
Right. Anyway, okay. Well, I think, you know, we hammered that one pretty good. Yeah. Unless you had any other comments or
No, I don't think so. Share. But I need to go and have a shower now to wash off all that filthy COVID energy from that.
We went down that road.
don't apologize, Beachy, but it really gives me the ick, kids say.
Yeah, I agree. I, like I said, we still have remnants, but we can overcome. We've got more good than there is bad at this point. I guess we can, if we're going to compare it to those days, we certainly have made it out of that mess, I think. And I truly believe we are not going to go back, even though some people say they're going to try it again. I don't think it'll work.
That's not going to happen again. It was very successful for them. It was a very successful psyop. I don't think they need to repeat it again. But Itchy, so much fun talking to you. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. It was a good chat. I always enjoy speaking with you. If you have any other good topics, feel free. We can do it again.
Great Thanksgiving, and enjoy the turkey if you eat turkey.
Yes, I will. I will partake, and it's an American thing. We're all fully. I'm sure it's a propaganda thing too, but at least it's an enjoyable one. So I don't.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
I don't have a problem with it too much.
Propaganda's fun. Enjoy it. All right. Cool. Thanks, Beachy.
Thank you. Okay, you have a good day and go to the beach and enjoy the your beautiful day.
I will. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Goodbye. Good night.
Sages.